Sit back, relax, and raise a glass, for spirits coming from the past. Sip on salt while your skin falls, with your pre-haunting host having a ball. Your favorite pools, gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, crack open the can and fill to the top. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, this is your podcast and it's called Hogs and Hogs.
No matter where in the world you're joining us from, welcome back to our realm. This is the Haunts and Hops podcast, the podcast that covers all things paranormal while sipping on some heavenly craft beer from Tavor. Follow us on all social media at Haunts and Hops. I'm Johnny LaQuasto, at Jay Quasto on the socials. Let's get to the woman who's dancing in front of her webcam right now. That sounds weird. Anyways, she is a certified paranormal investigator and certified in cryptozoology. A lifelong connection to the paranormal, especially with the haunted doll she mentioned last week that terrified her childhood. A true triple threat, Anastasia Washington.
Hi, guys. Dancing in the webcam.
What does your shirt say?
Oh, it's Gullah Gullah Lullaby. Island. No, Gullah Gullah Island. What? It was like a TV show in the 90s.
Was it a Nickelodeon show, perhaps?
It was a Nickelodeon show because of the font. Is that why? So obviously that font.
If it wasn't Double Dare, if it wasn't Double Dare, I wasn't going to know what it was. But that's cool. Ashley Trobe should be joining us in just a little bit and cannot wait to have our special guest. We're going to bring him in, Mustafa Gadalari, and it's going to be amazing. But first things first, Anna, what beer are you enjoying?
Well, I am drinking Elder Pine from Brewing and Blending Company. It is 4% alcohol by volume. It's very hoppy, but I still love it. I still really kind of dig it.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah. Yes, we sure can. Ladies and gentlemen.
Good goddamn. All right. I'm finally here.
She makes an entrance like only she can. Former team member of Ghost Hunters, a wealth of knowledge with a scrumptious beer possibly in her hand. I guess we'll find out. Find her at Ashley Trobe because she's Ashley Trobe.
I'm so glad to interrupt the show. Hi.
You are the show.
How's it going?
What am I drinking? I'm drinking Transient Artisan Ale by New Image Brewing. I don't know anything about it. I just opened it and I haven't even taken a sip yet. So we're going to find this out together.
We'll take a sip.
Oh, man.
Take a sip, and I'll tell everyone about my beer. By the way, thank you, Tavor. Follow at Tavor on social media. And if you want to get amazing beer from all over the country delivered right to your doorstep, it's really simple. Use the code HAUNTS10, HAUNTS10, and after your first $20 go into your crate, you will get automatically $10 added to your account. That's on your friends here at Haunts and Hops. I'm drinking Double Ghost Vision from Modest Brewing Company out of Minneapolis. It's a DDH Citra and it's a DDH Citra and Strata double IPA, 8.6 ABV, and it's a tall boy. So this might take me about 3 hours to finish.
Or three sips.
Yeah. Hang on, let me check this.
Triple dry hopped double IPA. It's 10%. Yeah. After trying to get onto the show today, I'm gonna finish this like halfway into the episode, I'm sure.
Please do. Yeah. We'll take moments out to chug if you need to, whatever, you make it happen.
That was unbelievable trying to get in today, but here I am. So
you did it. And before we get to our special guest, if you have a paranormal experience you want to tell us about, we want to feature your call. So call in at 818-660-6191. That's 818-660-6191. Tell us a story. Tell us an experience. We will play it on the show, and then we'll talk about that. So shall we bring in our special guest?
Yeah.
All right. He is the paranormal historian and site analyst of Ghost Hunters on A&E. I'm a huge fan of this guy. It's great to have him on the show. Mr. Mustafa Gadalari, thanks for joining us.
Hello. 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 Oh, my God. I'm so happy that shirt says Gullah Gullah Island. I used to see that show, and there was the guy in the orange frog uniform. And as a kid, I was really wondering, I'm like, how the hell is this freaking dude squat the entire time. It's a grown ass
worst job ever.
Horrible. Must
have been Benya crazy. Benya. It would be his name. Benya Benya is the name of the frog.
I believe you, but I don't know.
Well, Mustafa, we do a segment on the show every single week. Before we get into everything with, you know, your projects coming up and Ghost Hunters, it's called the Supernatural Scoop. We'd love to have you join us for it because we have a fun topic that we're going to bring up. So, all right, here we go. It is time for this week's Supernatural Scoop. So, let me ask, have any of you seen the documentary on Netflix called Unacknowledged?
No.
Mm-mm.
Well, that was easy. Unanimous no.
All right, well, let's go.
I remember watching it when I was working a cruise ship a couple of years ago. And so, you know, you just download stuff on Netflix when you're off the grid and off the internet. And it's a pretty good documentary. Well, this guy is a retired Air Force Special Investigations Officer. His name's Richard Doty. He's been very open about what he knows about UFOs from his time in the Air Force. And keep in mind, his job when he was with the Air Force was to spread disinformation. Like, he's admitting this now. And he gave a bunch of interviews for Unacknowledged,
that's
the documentary.
I want to
like he would never was.
He goes around, he's like, hey, ShopRite's selling Eggos, but buy one, get three free. And you go there and you're like, ah, damn, you lied to me.
By the way, Eggos come from another planet. no, he would give like half truths. He would talk to UFOlogists or UFOologists, whatever they, you know. So he did say that when he was there, and who knows if this is misinformation, but this is him supposedly telling the truth. He said that they were shown four different types of extraterrestrial crafts, as well as four different types of extraterrestrials. And he went on to describe a couple specifically. So the one, he said, looked like an insect, huge eyes, large head, small body, basically two hands on each arm, several joints in their legs, and about the size of an average human.
How many arms?
Well, two times two, I guess.
Well, you said two hands on each arm. It sounded like they had multiple arms if they looked like an insect, right? Like
maybe two arms with multiple appendages.
Can you imagine that walking towards you?
I don't even like people walking towards me, so no.
Fair enough, fair enough.
I don't want to be approached by people in everyday life, so the less.
The first half of it was like, maybe it's like a Hollywood starlet, and then you were like, two arms, and then I was like, oh.
Yeah, I was thinking like Kate Moss up until the four arms part. I was like, that sounds like Kate Moss.
Was it Penelope Cruz?
The multiple joints in the legs. I still don't understand exactly what that means. But
that's from like that crappy star? Charlie Sheen. Remember that Charlie Sheen alien movie? What was it? Not Arrival. I think it was The Arrival, where it's like the aliens and their legs, instead of the knees bending like this, the knees bend back the other way. That's what he's talking about.
Nope.
This guy adding to it together. It was awful. He had glasses.
I like the way you tried to bend your finger back to demonstrate for that.
I'm not going to break my finger for you guys.
No, it worked. It worked, though. It totally worked for what I needed.
Charlie Sheen is an alien movie. Wait, was in or is an alien movie? Both.
No, it was like a mid-90s alien movie called like The Arrival, I think. And then Charlie Sheen. And apparently it's like an it's like a very big like, pro like green friendly movie, like human beings don't know how to take care of the planet, so aliens are taking over.
That sounds right.
Exactly.
That tracks.
That's what's happening.
Wow.
I watched it around the same time as the network television premiere of Demolition Man, so that's how I
everything, all the days in your life just go based on Demolition Man.
The network television premiere of
You're like, when did we get married? Well, it was 4 years to the day after Demolition Network debut.
Yeah, but that's how I would base things too. Like being somebody that goes to Wasteland every year, I'm like, oh, we got married at Wasteland. So everything from then on forth is going to be Wasteland.
That makes sense. I'm not weird with
you. I have to my entire life of Mad Max now. So.
Wow. And this was like peak Charlie Sheen. Like this is major league hot shots Charlie Sheen when he was, I guess he was trying to be serious at one point. Who knew?
Can we have that Charlie Sheen back? Like that version of Charlie Sheen instead of the winning Charlie Sheen?
he got abducted and he got placed with, if you check his appendages, you'll see that his knees bent back that way. We got the alien sheen now.
That's what tiger blood does for you. Makes you flexible.
Oh, God.
Tiger blood.
No.
The other description that Richard Doty gave is that the other species, if you will, very tall and thin, a humanoid with long arms, no hair, and cat-like eyes. So, yay.
Wait a minute. Say that one more time, that last little bit. Bald and what? And what?
Cat-like.
Yeah, eyes. No hair and cat-like eyes.
So, fun fact about that, both of my cats, Colin, Grant Robinson, and Todd Margaret, are named after bald white men who are terrible at acclimating to human society, which makes them aliens, is what I'm understanding right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what I'm hearing.
What are their, wait, what, which bald white men who are bad at acclimating to human society?
did you ever watch the show What We Do in the Shadows?
Oh!
So Colin Robinson is one of my cats. Yes.
Yeah.
He's the terror. He's the most bad kitten in the world. My other cat is Todd Margaret, who is named after a TV show called The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret, which is David Cross playing.
Yeah. I've seen that.
And so both of them are bald white men. And I'm just saying, I think my cats might be aliens. And that might be why everything is falling apart around me.
Fair enough.
Probably. Yeah.
Computer. Watch for falling probes.
As they're literally fighting behind
it kind of sounds like his descriptions of these aliens right now exist in collective culture, like already. Like there's the lanky alien, there's the Men in Black bug alien. Like what's going to be next? Like the tiny green man? Like I don't know.
Yeah, does he have a gray in there? Is there
the one that looks like Monk?
There's a Tony Shalhoub alien.
Yeah, like Men in Black.
Like how it's not like the Men in Black alien, it's Tony Shalhoub.
So I just think that's my next cat's name. I'm just
Tony Shalhoub.
I love it. I would love that alien.
I'm just saying, he had the greatest cameo in Men in Black. It was fantastic.
It's true. It's true.
Do you have any idea how much that stings? That was my impression. Okay, I'll leave. Goodbye.
No, please stay.
It's a close one between Tony Shalhoub and Vincent D'Onofrio when he becomes the Edgar suit and his face gets all weird. And he's
oh, like, so good, though.
Didn't he do a movie where he like lost his nose to drugs and he was like called Pooh Bear or something?
He did a movie with J-Lo where he got his nipples ripped off when a nipple rings. And then J-Lo ripped his nipple rings off while they were still attached to his nipples.
Was it Anaconda?
No, that's where John Voight says, baby bird. Over and over again. The nipple one is The Cell. Terrible film.
Really?
Yeah.
I was like, Anaconda, it doesn't sound like that scene would be in Anaconda, but thanks.
It is now. Yeah, anytime I think about people ripping things off of people, I think of Silent Hill, where Pyramid Head just straight up rips the skin off that girl's body. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I was expecting from this movie, but I like it.
Yeah, Pyramid Head does it for me.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go with the 40-year-old virgin.
Anastasia and I, we have to lose body hair all the time. We don't care about that anymore. Yeah. For that, like, we were just like,
that's a Tuesday.
I've never had my skin ripped off, to be honest. So, you know, that's why it's different.
Good. Let's keep it that way, I think.
I have.
Yeah. So, last piece of this story. Richard Doty says that also multiple crafts have been shown to use zero-point energy, basically meaning they found a way to extract energy from the vacuum of space. To follow that up, a professor of physics at the University of Nebraska said, quote, the fact that they're here shows us they found a way to generate energy so that they were able to pull out of the vacuum. So his thought process is that, you know, a wormhole or a warping space. In other words, they're way smarter than us. They're way more advanced than us. So let's hope they're all nice.
Are they? They're still using the pullout method.
Wait, that doesn't work.
Anastasia, we're in quarantine. No one's using that because no one's getting
any.
That's
bad.
Yeah, don't.
Only one of us here has kids, so I'm not going to speak on it. I don't know. You have two. You have two kids. Before we get into the Mustafa
of it all
plethora of things, what are your final thoughts on this story here? I mean, look, I think we talked about aliens. We know that we believe they're clearly there somewhere in the galaxy. But this is a guy for a top-notch Air Force official saying, yeah, I saw some stuff, and yep, it's real, even though I lied to people.
Why is it always the Air Force, though?
I guess because they're in the air.
Because they're in the air. Yeah, but I mean, have you noticed that all the articles that we've covered for the Supernatural Scoop, it just seems to be the Air Force reporting on this shit? Like, what else do they know? Do I need to get married to somebody in the Air Force? Is that what I'm hearing? Like,
sure, if you
please.
I don't know, man. It just seems like they know a lot more than the people on the ground at this point.
It's weird because, like, I was looking at it, and then the first thing I wanted to see, I was like, let me see this Doty guy. Let me look at him and see if he looks insane. Because you could kind of tell, like, when just by looking at someone's photo, it's like, you know? And then I had to do a story for Distractify on this Deep State documentary somebody did. And they were like, oh, we have people who are ex-military. So I looked at the photos of them. And like the departments that they work for, and their patch is like a wizard, like, you know, the army patch is like a wizard over the globe, and he's all mad. And I was like, this looks like something I would draw in like eighth grade. I'm like, this is badass. So like, and then I saw like the, you know, two of the people, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. Like, now I understand. These are their experts. Like, I get it. Like, completely understand. So, but Doty kind of looks, I don't know, he looks kind of put together. It looks like I would hire him, like, if I had a company, you know, and give him health benefits and like $58,000 a year, no problem. Like, cool.
Yeah, you could have 40 hours a week.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You get 2 weeks paid vacation, like, no problem. The other people, I'd be like, you're 1099 if you're lucky. Like, please.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I was going to say, before we get into it, I have to say that I've been friends with Brandon for a very, very, very long time. And before we go into everything that you guys are doing, I just have to ask, what's it been like working with Brandon? Because I did Ghost Hunters 7, 8 years ago now. And I've known Brandon for probably close to 10 years now. And it's so exciting seeing him on the show and doing all these different things. And what's this experience like for you? Because you met him on the show, is that right?
I met him at pretty much casting, you know. They I didn't really know if I wanted to go and do it. And like, I went out there and, you know, they had us there for like a week, and they made us take psychological evaluations. And I don't know how the hell I passed that. And then we did like a whole bunch of other stuff. And, you know, we were going through it the whole week. And the biggest thing I was kind of just concerned with was what's my take on things. I just want to say what I want to say. I don't want to try to do something to get on the show to get them to like me, because, you know, like, I don't want to do that. Like, fuck you. Like, I'm not going to just go and be your dancing monkey, because that's how I've like ruined my whole life doing that. So I was like, I'm not going to do it. So I literally went out there just to like put myself in a pressurized situation and whatever. I didn't care at that point if I got the show. But what was really cool was while we were screen testing, Brandon was smart. Like, I kind of got that, like, a lot of people were there and they were like, you could tell people were nervous, and you kind of get in that mentality of like, ooh, let me go to other people for comfort. And I was kind of like a dick. Like, I wasn't talking to anybody, and I would like shoot down stuff that they would say. And, you know, I wouldn't really entertain their jokes. I wouldn't laugh. And I would just say things that I just wanted to entertain myself when I was out there.
Damn.
And as a result, I kind of like, you know, got put what I wanted to say on the record, but I was doing my best work. So Brandon, and he's like that. He's kind of like, I don't give a crap who you are, where you're from, all. And
as
like,
long as you love me.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly. He's a huge Backstreet Boys fan. So I don't know if about him. Yeah, he himself is responsible for 100 of the records sold to get them to triple platinum in 3 weeks.
He's the reason.
He is the reason, 100%. But yeah, so. It was interesting because I remember the head producer, Mike Nichols, executive producer, and I promise this is going to like make sense.
Mike was my producer too, so keep going. Keep going.
Oh, yeah. Mike, he looks like a combination of Stephen King and Mark Summers from
Oh, shit.
You know what
That's
I mean?
Like, exactly what he looks like, yeah.
Face mash of Stephen King and Mark Summers. But so Mike's looking around, and he's looking at people to pair with to go on screen, and like, I'm standing here, and then Brandon's standing here, and then Brandon kind of just looks at me and like, I see out of my peripheral, he kind of just like moves closer to me because he knew we kind of had like a good vibe. And then Mike's like, yeah, you two go. So then we went and we investigated together. And it was the first time It was probably the first time I ever got direct feedback from what I thought was a paranormal entity, like in my 15 years of investigating, like the first time ever. And I don't know if it had to do with like whatever vibe or energy that like Brandon and I had together, but we were so just very focused on, all right, these are the claims here. Let's look into it. Let's try to like really connect with the entities and, you know, acknowledging the fact that like, you know, the people here, they're like late 1800s Spaniards who migrated to California. There's no way some scumbag from New Jersey and some like, you know, dude from, you know, maybe Brandon a little bit more than me, because, you know, he grew up with like in California at least, but like, there's no way I'm gonna like be able to. So I went there and then, you know, started speaking a little bit of Spanish that I knew and stuff. And then all of a sudden we started getting like feedback. And Kendall, you know, Ashley, you know Kendall, right? Kendall, who's like an amazing investigator in his own way. He's there. He's like, what the fuck? Like, while we're doing it. So I was like, oh, this is cool. So it ended up being like an incredible investigation. Like, that could have made the show. It was great. And yeah, from then on, it was just, I love the guy, man. Like, I talk with him every single day, multiple times a day. We're like this now, like it's, and that was from day one, like very, very cool. So very fortunate to have met him, and he's completely changed the way I work. He's extremely, he pushes you to like do more and more and more. And, you know, he sets a high bar. So yeah, he's fantastic. He's my bro.
That's something that I've told people before. And anybody that listens to the show knows, like, I've been friends with Brandon for a long time, but when I first started into the paranormal field, like, he was my mentor. He was the person that I looked up to in every single way, because I had met him when I was first starting off in this. And like, anytime I had an EVP where I was like, I need someone that is credible and legitimate and I need them to hear this, it was always Brandon, and it's always been Brandon. And so it's really exciting because, like, I've seen what, I don't have TV, so I can only see Ghost Hunters once in a while when I can.
What I
have seen though is what you guys are doing, and I'm so excited to see the science end of this just become like the forefront of what we're doing. And of all the people in the world that I knew was going to be able to do this, I knew Brandon was going to be able to be a face of that. And so, you know, it's exciting in every single way. So I am very happy that you're on the show today. I really appreciate it, because it just feels like I'm talking to another extension of Brandon at this point. So
that's a high compliment.
Well, speaking of which, not only are you and Brandon partners on Ghost Hunters, you're about to be partners in business, if you will. Congratulations. You have a publishing deal with Llewellyn Worldwide. We're coming out early next year. So what can you tell us about this book?
We've been writing this thing probably since the Pillars of State investigation from season one. What we can tell you is that, just like Ashley said, it's heavily steeped in science, investigative protocol, how to minimize false positives, along with deeper looks into a lot of the cases that were on Ghost Hunters, more of the history, things that didn't make TV that were like crazy. And we have a lot of like data for and a lot of interesting theories and like a lot of correlations that were made between new introduction to new devices like the EMCCD camera, the electron multiplying camera, along with advances in the correlation between the EMCCD and our data loggers, right? So what do those theories mean? So we were actually able to tie in a lot of theories with from physicists like Sir Roger Penrose, right? And we noticed that like these theories actually apply to our findings, which is really, really cool. So it's super scientific and nerdy in that way. But we also have a lot of like good like ghost stories and stuff in it too. So yeah, like I want to crack jokes about it and stuff, but like it's I can't, like it's so we've worked like so hard on it, and it's really, really awesome. We have a similar work ethic, so yeah, people can expect to see a lot of behind the scenes stuff along with some really new interesting theories that'll hopefully change the way people investigate for the better. And maybe, you know, and Brandon's actually working on a really cool like rubric. So it's like a thing. It's like, oh, if you're starting out to investigate, okay, consider this. So like you can have a sheet, and you can go in and fill that out, or, you know, have a PDF on your phone or whatever, and you can go and fill that out. So Yeah,
that's we're so cool. I feel like you need to make an app, though.
I feel like from what Brandon was telling me is it is, and I don't. Please don't think that I'm down this at all. I'm really excited, but it's kind of like a ghost hunting for dummies kind of thing where you guys explain like how to do things and how to actually investigate properly though. Like you go through the actual, here's what's right, here's what's wrong, here's techniques you can use. Like, is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like, it's like in terms of like here's what's right, here's what's wrong. I think like it's, you hit the nail on the head in terms of like, how do you push the field forward in terms of actual evidence and actual science? And I think evidence should be used for everything. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? You got some like deadbeat boyfriend or girlfriend at home. It's like, I love you. It's like, you don't even get off the freaking couch and like do anything for me. It's like, fuck you. You know, I was like, I don't care. You can love me inside all you want, but like go and do something. All right. Buy me a goddamn, you know, chocolate bar or something. I don't know. But like, it's whatever. If that's like the bare minimum, and I would be very happy with that. I hope my wife hears this right now.
And now we're a love advice column. Congratulations. Yeah.
He's just basically asking his wife for a candy bar on air. That's all he's doing.
Still wait.
What chapter book is that?
That's chapter 69. That's
chapter. Of course. It's a really big book.
Nah, they're like 8-page chapters. But so I think it's like, it just in terms of evidence, like look for the evidence, document your evidence, and eradicate any kind of false positives. And then like, don't go and use equipment that you don't know. Like I've seen boxes where it's like, hey, this light turns on, that means there's a ghost. I'll be like, well, what does it measure? They're like, it's a ghost light. Like, okay, like, how do you know, dude. Yeah, it's like, it's a ghost light. I'll be like, all right, well, thanks, but I don't want to put that on the show. Like, I'm not going to just put a ghost light on the show. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So that's the thing, is we're trying to take it out of the realm of pseudoscience and really measure, okay, these are the environmental changes. This happens when you start talking about this, and this is what we can document. So, you know, it's definitely not as cool as being like, oh my God, like, you know, some demon just licked my butthole. But now I could be like, well, I felt the lick on my anus while there was a drop in pressure.
And it's also on page 69, by the way, or chapter 69.
That's actually the DVD extra.
Now you can scientifically measure that.
That is the DVD extras ghost hunter. Yeah. So you guys will see that.
All I want in my life is to be able to scientifically measure a succubus. And I feel like that's what you're doing here. Thank you.
Ever since I played Darkstalkers.
Well, the funny thing is, like, we had Brandon Alves on probably about 6 weeks ago. And I actually knows him well. I've never met him before. But you can see how truly scientific he is, because he is so low key that he's always just even keel. And I could tell the book was going to be great, because when we were talking about it, even he got excited. Like, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon's the kind of guy where he could win a $3 million lottery and just go, oh, there's a benefit to this. Yeah. Okay. I see that. That's okay. Let me correlate after the taxes. Yeah. Okay. You know what? I think I could benefit from this. But like talking about the book, you could tell he was pumped.
Yeah. He's actually, that's the thing, is like, he's extremely, extremely, extremely professional. But when it comes to things that are, He I've seen him, you know, I've been on the road with him and stuff. He gets really passionate about things that he cares about, and he will be very passionate to defend certain ideologies and certain people. He's defended me a lot of times on the road in certain instances. And I really, really appreciate that. But he's somebody who's just always about, okay, cool, let's meet in the work. That's what I like about him, is like, there's no need to be like, oh, you're my friend, you're my best friend, ooh, just like that. It's just like, no, just let's do the actions of what a best friend does, and you're my best friend. Like, that's it. Like, I don't need to tell you that you're like, you know, we're friends, but that's how we feel. Like, okay. We just do the work, and then we met each other in the work. And the second, well, I think one of us ever falls off, you know, we would definitely tell each other, be like, what the hell, man? Like, you know, I'm getting lazy or doing this, and hasn't come to that. But I mean, yeah, we've been crushing it with the book and everything, and really ahead of schedule. So yeah, it should be out soon, sooner than later. I think our publisher is going to be happy.
Yeah. I feel like when it comes to investigations, and maybe not everybody feels this way, but there was a person that I used to investigate with pretty consistently, and Brandon knows them. And when I would investigate with her specifically, it was very, we would have a lot more interaction. We would have a lot more evidence. And it was very, it felt very twin soul in that way. And yeah. I think that's what you guys have in this case. Like, you naturally came together. You naturally get the evidence that, you know, you guys have been working towards. And that creates a really good business and partnership in general. And I just, it's really interesting and really great to see that it happens to more people than just who I was investigating with.
It's cool. I'm very, very fortunate to have met him that way. And if I didn't get the show, I would have definitely hit him up even afterwards and wanted to work with him and investigate with him. I remember coming home and talking about my wife, and you know, I knew I had done great, like the auditions, the talking, all that stuff. I said everything I needed to say. I felt fantastic. I was on cloud nine, and I didn't even know I was going to take the show until like 3 days before I flew out. Like, I didn't sign the contract until like they kept pressing me, and I was like, you know, because I took a pay cut to do it because I was doing so many other things, and I had to turn down like a bunch of like terrorist roles in like New York that paid a lot of money. It's like, oh, is it like terrorist number nine? It's like, you know, you go,
who's gonna play terrorist number nine now?
A lot of life.
It's very pilgrim, though, to be like, eh, we don't know when we're sending you. Oh, we're sending you in 2 days. Goodbye. Good luck.
They were a little better than from the reputation I heard with us. But, yeah, there's some crazy stuff that happened. But, yeah, they were they let me know, and they kept pressing me. I talked with Mike. It was Mike who really kind of, like, you know, solidified it for me. And then I was like, all right, cool. And then I decided to do it. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I remember telling Miriam, I was like, they don't put Brandon on the show. I was like, I'm not even going to watch it. It's like, there's no point. Because he was clearly, when we were out there, like, he was clearly, like, above, a cut above, I think, everybody who was at the casting. He knew exactly what he was talking about. I remember we were setting stuff up, and, you know, I knew a little bit because I had worked with my tech guy on my home team. We're not talking anymore. He got pissed that I got the show. But I remember Brandon was there. Everybody's on set. And then we're all there. And then, like, they're setting stuff up. And everybody just looks at Brandon. What do we do now? And I was like, okay, cool. Like, that tells you everything you need to know.
Well, with the book, I imagine you guys are going to go over the correlation between, you know, pressure and light anomalies. Kind of explain that in a little bit so we can understand it. I'm sure Ashley and Anastasia do. I'll be honest, I might not quite understand it. So
yeah. Okay. So there is a positive correlation that we have documented on several instances that whenever there is a light phenomena that is registered on the EMCCD camera, where a light source is being generated from energy out of nowhere. It's not like, oh, this is somebody shining a flashlight, or, oh, there's a bug going on this. There's a light source. There's nothing there. And then there's a formation of some energy source. Whenever that happens, there are changes in barometric pressure. So what does this tell us, right? Okay. So I started looking into the correlations between light and pressure. And the biggest correlation between light and pressure happens in a black hole. The last thing to survive in a black hole is light. After that light sucked through, whatever matter or energy is there is done, comes out the other side, and it is transformed into something else. So black holes destroy a lot of things, but they also create new life out the other side, whatever that is. So what does that tell us? One, okay, black holes, they thrive in high pressure environments. So are we looking at a weird moment in time that is akin to a black hole phenomenon, because time stands still in a black hole, or there's like a change in time? So when we're experiencing a paranormal event, are we looking into a moment in time? Like, are we not talking to a ghost? Are we talking to someone or activating a weird moment in time where we're not talking to a ghost, but somebody actually alive in 1913 or somebody in, you know, 1680, and we're just talking to them then? Or due to the law of thermodynamics, where matter is neither created nor destroyed, when we die, do we turn into a photon event or a light anomaly? And what is left of us is that a light anomaly, right? And why do some people, if that's the case, why do some people become light anomalies and others don't? You know, there's interesting things about like our like genetic structure changes depending on the lives that we live. Like the like if you become an athlete, you are literally changing your genetic structure over the course of 10 years of consistent, crazy, like working out. If I like Usain Bolt, let's say like he has a kid, that kid is more genetically predisposed to being better, not just because of like genetics, but because of the way he worked out to be a better athlete. So I wonder if the way people live their lives, does that have something to do with how their being, whatever that is kind of retained after they die? I don't know. Yeah.
You're saying it's a possibility of, let's say someone is a great athlete or in very good physical condition for the majority of their life. Is that how maybe a possibility of them being more likely to be visible or make a presence after death, whereas other people might not be as likely? Is am I way off on that? Or is that like,
I'm talking about just like, let's say you're a kind of person who is somebody who, but by the way they live their life, similar to how an athlete like lives an athletic life and then they will pass on their genes that are now athletic genes, is the way somebody, how they live their life, whatever that is, I have no idea what that is, but the way they live their life, does that make them more prone to becoming a light anomaly or persisting in a way that we can communicate with after they die? I have no idea. I don't know if that has something to do with trauma or deep feeling or the way somebody lived their life or extreme happiness and love or whatever that is. That's getting all hippy dippy, but I do
like
think
a Care Bear,
like a Care Bear, or you know, I don't know,
or like glowing up. You know, can I ask? So, when you've done these experiments so far,
yeah,
you guys are, you've already conducted these. Have you found that who responds more, residual or intelligent hauntings? Like, what are you feeling that you're getting the most response from? Because there's such a different experience every time. And I'm just curious as to who is the one that is responding to what you're doing.
I have to look to specific cases. I think a lot of it has to do with honesty, as weird as this sounds, like respect and honesty. Mm-hmm. And I think the two go hand in hand. Like if you're not trying to, you know how messed up it is, like how much it sucks when somebody's trying to bullshit you in a situation just in life. Like, you know, like somebody's trying to like come up to you and like, you can tell when someone's just trying to become your friend so they can get something from you. Like, you know, it's like, get out of here, man. Like, I know, like you can see it from a mile away. You live in any major city and somebody's coming up to say hi to you. It's like, you just know when they're going to start asking you for $5 or like whatever, just so they can get something to eat. And it's like, ugh. So I think a lot of times too, when I address that for the show, we got some of our best interactions. You know, when I kind of address the elephant in the room, we got our best interactions. Like, hey, I know we're here with all these cameras and we're kind of, and I should feel disgusting because I'm asking you to dance in front of the camera for me like a monkey or whatever. But like, could you please, like, you know, I really just want to know what was going on with you? What happened? Does this mean anything to you? Da, da, da. And then that's what really kind of gets got our best reactions. It happened in Worley Hospital in Pampa, Texas. They didn't show it in an episode because there's not enough time, but like we had like a 20, almost 24 minute long back and forth where like someone was turning a motion detector on and off. And we wrote about this in the book, but you know, it was a nurse it's the only time I'm ever sure I knew who I was talking to. Her name's Mary Lucille Myers. She had tried to commit suicide twice in a day. Her husband had come back from World War II. He was in a POW camp and then things were not good at home. And you know, Texas in the 40s, it's not like you're gonna go get a divorce. You know, she thought this guy was like great or whatever, and things weren't good. Anyway, she tried to kill herself and she succeeded the second time by cyanide poisoning. And while we're there, motion detector gets turned on, stays on. So we're like, excuse me, kids, like if you're turning that on, could you step away from it? Because, and then step back if you want to answer yes, then the light starts to dim. So Brandon and I are like, oh. We start back and forth, motion detector's getting turned on. But then when we're going back and reviewing the audio, after we ask, like, oh, excuse me, could you step away from that, please? You hear a woman say, oh, sorry, and step away from it.
Oh.
And it's like,
she's so light. I love her.
Yeah. And it was,
you
it
answer was, your own question without answering it. Is it sounds like it's intelligent that yeah. responds to this theory that you're talking right. about.
Yeah. We've had a lot of intelligent hauntings. Like there's yeah. crazy stuff like, you know, Alaska, Daryl's standing where him and I are in the hallway. And then like, I start experiencing exactly what one of the witnesses did. And I'm like kind of pissed. It's like, God damn it. Like, I hope we pick up something on our, you know, devices. I'm like, because everybody's going to think I'm just playing this up for camera. And then Daryl's like, yeah, it's like, I feel a tension in my lower back. So we're going to review the audio. Before Daryl says, I feel a tension in my lower back, you hear like a deeper old man's voice say, I feel a tension in my lower back. And then that same, and it predicted what Daryl was going to say or influenced him. They didn't put that in the show, but they did put like when Daryl got charged by what he thought was an app, like somebody charging him, you hear that same voice go, it's me. Somebody walking through the hallway. And then he caught like on his body cam, like a full body apparition looking once, twice, and then like move. Yeah.
Well, speaking of physicality, I mean, the episode I want to discuss, it happened to you at the Glenn house. I mean, you got marked up. And you and Brandon, you talk about, Ashley mentioned you guys having that good chemistry. My God, you guys were really successful at the Glenn house. And there's something about families that were well off and have a tragic end that they just never leave. And you guys got a lot of action that night.
You're rich.
Yeah. I it's actually funny. I mean, to me, I kind of owe my own family losing our house to getting the show. We grew up in a haunted house. We ended up like losing it because we couldn't afford it anymore. It was something like I'll never forget. Like to this day, like we're trying to buy a new house, like me and my wife. And you know, like every time I think about it, I start getting like, oh no, it's like PTSD from it because it's like the worst feeling in the world. But that's the kind of thing that sticks with you. You know what I mean? You're haunted by that. So I think for me, I know Grant and the show was like, it could be a positive thing because we found in that episode where I got scratched, there was a letter written by Sarah Glenn Marsh, a descendant of the Glenn family, who said that, you know, love was built into the foundation of the Glenn house. And, you know, very well could be a very positive thing. And that just whoever's there is trying to alert me to it. That's fine. But to me, again, this is just a theory and it's a feeling. I kind of felt like it was more like a, hey man, like, fuck you. You know what this feels like. Like, why would you bring that up? And I did it in a way to kind of, I didn't do it in a good way. I did it in a way to like entice somebody to come and like, you know, to try to incite activity. And I was like, well, you know, if you know, this isn't your house anymore, like, you know, you're going to have to get out. It belongs to Christy now. Mm-hmm. So that's when it happened after I said that. And I think, again, it's that honesty thing. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you? You know how traumatic it is to lose a house and you're going to like freaking basically do what the enemy did. Like, you know, you're a scumbag, dude. Like, you know what this feels like. So yeah, I felt kind of grimy.
And not to mention the family went through financial ruin before essentially all dying. So yeah, kind of, I would imagine whoever is still there, probably a little salty.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't, I'd be salty too. I'd be like, screw you, man. This house meant everything to me. And we wrote about the house in the book and dude, like the house was like the first one with like indoor plumbing on the block. It was like a crazy house. There were the Joneses to keep up with. William Howard Taft came and like visited the house, saw the family. Their daughter was like riding on a boat with the president. So they were like a big deal, man. They were a big deal. They were like growing up Gotti in the heyday in the early 2000s.
aside from the book in 2021, you also have stuff coming up in September, Mineral Springs Hotel, which is notoriously haunted. Speaking of fancy, it was had a massive pool and was like the hotel back in the day. But stories galore. You have the woman Jasmine who's still there. You have the boy who drowned in the pool. You're involved in what is it, a 2-night event investigation that people can actually go?
Yeah. September 25th, I'm going to be there with Rochelle and Brian and Daryl. And then the 26th, Daryl and I are going to skedaddle and go to Virginia. So we're only going to be there the 25th. Planning on seeing me the 26th. Just, I guess, I don't know, pull a commando and jump on the tire of the plane and fly with me to Virginia. I don't know what you're going to do. But yeah,
don't I'll be up inside. Don't actually do that, though. Like,
no, do it.
Well, I do have one technical question. I noticed it during, well, a lot of the episodes, but the Glenn one especially, the binaural microphone, is that essentially a massive step above your regular EVP recorder?
Yeah, we like to, the binaural microphone, it just, it looks so cool. Like, I've wanted to pierce it so many times and just like lick the plastic ears on it. It's just like, you ever see it? It's like, it looks like it's got ears, and it's just like, there's something about it that's,
continue.
I want to lick those ears. I want to lick the ears on them. Every time I see them, I just want to. Anyway, I'll stop talking about it. But
keep going. Our listeners love it.
They want to know.
The binaural microphone, I think, is great because it gives you that like 360 degree sound, like supersonic hearing that you can listen to in real time. But I like the ambisonic microphone better because the ambisonic microphone has a wider field of recording, and you could just leave it on the floor, go do your investigation, and then go review the audio later. So I guess it depends on what kind of investigation you're trying to do. If you're trying to like listen in real time, communicate with somebody, that's cool. I would use it for like a place with real audio claims, but the ambisonic, like, I just keep that thing running on any investigation, no matter what. I bring the ambisonic because we catch EVPs all the time. Like, we'll go and leave the area, and then we come back, and it's like, what the hell? I feel like somebody's like, hey, what's this? She's like coming up to us like, oh shit, I'm not supposed to be.
They're like doing a sound check without you. Tap, tap, is this thing on?
All the spirits are licking the ears of the binaural microphone.
Right. Yeah. One is for sexual use and one is for ambionic.
I bought one just to lick the ear, man. It's just about it. It just gets me going. I don't know what
this
it is.
This is also covered in chapter 69 of the new book.
This is part three of chapter 69.
As a matter of fact, the entire book is actually just chapter 69. But yeah. Still...
190 pages, just chapter 6. It's like Street Fighter 2. Who played Street Fighter 1?
Fun fact, my entire biography is called Chapter 69, and this is it.
I want to get a 69 tattoo, and it's all made out of Shia LaBeouf heads. I just want to put it on my face. 69, like, and just put it there.
It's all Shia LaBeouf and like Brandon one time, just one little face of Brandon's, and then Shia LaBeouf the rest of the way again.
I mean, that's a choice.
That is a choice, you guys.
Awesome. I would do it for you. Come on.
I'm going to put Brandon's face on my face and just walk around.
You have some great ideas.
Thanks. I'm going to see through all of them. And then I'm going to lick the ears of the binaural microphone and be like, oh, it's not Mustafa doing it. It's Brandon. He's the weirdo.
I see the plan now. I get it now.
We have September 25th at the Mineral Springs Hotel. What else do you have coming up? Obviously, the book has not been announced yet as far as a date, but anything else that you would want people to know about in the near future?
We got that event. Hit up my – I got so many events with Flammary Promotions, but I have a couple in October. Just stay on my social media pages if you guys want to know what events I'm doing. I'm always posting about them. There's on my IG stories. You might have to sift through photos of my kids having fun so I can, you know, appear to be a good parent. But other than that, like, you know, just stay tuned to my socials, and I'm always posting about them. So yeah, Twitter is TAFGATO, Toff Gatto, because my M Gattolari Twitter got deleted after I made fun of Legend of Zelda too much years ago.
Wait, I didn't want to hear the rest of it. Tell me that story, please.
I started like talking about like how the game sucked. They're all the same, no matter what. You just move around, and it's like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Like, you play one Zelda game, and then a bunch of Zelda fans got so mad at me that they flagged my account, and they said I was like, you know, like, putting lewd content up there. I was like, there's no lewd content. I'm just saying Legend of Zelda sucks. Like, who wants to play as Peter Pan with a sword anyway? It's just annoying. But anyway, so that's Toff Gatto. But my other ones are M Gattolari, my last name, on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, that might be the ultimate nerdiest troll I've ever heard of in my life.
It just sucks. That and Metroid, like, those games are so annoying. There's the same freaking game every time. It's like, get out of here, dude. Metroid sucks. It's like you play the first one, and then it's like, okay, cool. And then you want to – Metroid Prime is the exact same thing as the first game. It's like, I don't need to do this again. I'm done. Stop it. Sorry.
I think that we have a divide between the women and – well, I don't know what the hell anyone's talking about, but definitely a divide between the women and Mustafa right now between video games.
I'm horrified at you guys.
You guys. Horrified. What?
You play Legend of Zelda
games? You guys. Yeah, I love Legend of Zelda completely. The only one I didn't like was, what's that one that came out on the GameCube that I can't think of right now?
Wind Waker.
GameCube.
No, not Wind Waker. That was actually, I talked shit about that for years and then I played it and I was like, oh, this is amazing. What was the next one?
Twilight Princess.
That one fucking sucked.
Yeah, I agree that one sucks along with all of the other ones. Contra is a better game. You're Arnold Schwarzenegger and Stallone killing aliens. You know, he knows Contra.
I recently found out that those characters actually had names.
Yeah, Lance Beam and Bill Reiser. Get with it, dude.
Yeah, which they sound like a 1980s tag team.
Lance Beam. They'd be on American Gladiators.
Well, Mustafa, thank you so much for joining us, man. We are so excited for you and Brandon.
Thank you.
We're all getting the book. Can't wait to hear it. Can't wait to see it. And so just keep us updated. And obviously, we'll keep pushing anything you guys want us to. So,
oh, man, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Ashley, where can people find you?
At Ashley Trobe on everything, because I have the most basic name in the world. So everything.
You can find me at Anastasia W on Twitter, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram, and Anastasia TV. If you're nasty, I'm just kidding, on YouTube. It's not anything nasty. There's nothing nasty on there.
Okay, great. Well, I'm at Jay Quasto on social media. Next weekend, I'll be in Louisville at the Caravan Comedy Club. So feel free to hit me up on social media. They're doing all socially distant guidelines are in place. I'll be there September 10th through 12th. And of course, follow us at Haunts and Hops on all social media platforms. Follow at Tavor. Sign up using the code HAUNTS10 and get $10 off your first crate of beer. And of course, call 818-660-6191. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us about your paranormal experience if you have one. We'd love to hear it. So with that said, it's time to say goodbye, Ashley Trobe.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.